I love gold.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that's right behind me, isn't it? I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Cornelius Crackenspines Van Est.
It's time to throw the book at you.
Megan, the undefeated McCafferty.
Sorry, jabronis. Today, I'm going 3-0.
And Keith, the eraser, Schreiber.
You will know you have lost when you hear Arnold say, "You've been erased."
Hello, and thank you so much to all our listeners and players for joining us today. We are here in the first elimination match in the Mark 7 division here in our show's sixth season. Scoremaster Dan is absent, but per usual, hitting the boards is Production Master Dave. Hey there, Dave.
Where did you get that dress? It's awful on those shoes and that coat. Jeez.
Well, I think that's our cue to get into the first game of today, a round of My Champion. Each one of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture, but we are choosing the challenge for those champions to undergo. Hoping to roll a nat 20 on obscure knowledge this week, Cornelius Van Est, who is your champion?
That'll be Nick Burkhart from NBC's Grimm.
After two victories on our Sassy Magazine special and our holiday special, she's here to brave the chaos of the regular season. It's teen angst aficionado Megan McCafferty. Megan, who have you got for your champion?
My champion is Sweet D. Reynolds from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
You hear that, Dan Casino? That's Sweet D. Reynolds. D.
And also joining us today is extreme death metal drummer and Arnold impersonator extraordinaire, Keith Schreiber. Keith, who is your champion?
My champion will be Detective Jack Slater from Last Action Hero.
All right, champions are all locked in. Production Master Dave is going to be our judge today. So that means it's time to spin the scenario wheel. Today, January 31st, is both Eat Brussels Sprouts Day and National Hot Chocolate Day. Which champion would best keep down an extra large chocolate Brussels sprout smoothie? Cornelius, why is Nick Burkhart from Grimm going to keep down that nasty chocolate Brussels sprout smoothie?
Well, we know that Nick Burkhart is good at a lot of things. You know, he has to hunt Vesson. He has to keep his day job as a Portland police officer. But there's one thing that we have most evidence that he is good at. It is drinking awful concoctions. He's had to drink potions that turned him into part animal, that have had to take away his powers that he almost died from. And he's kept it down and with that suave demeanor that we know of Nick Burkhart.
Thank you, Cornelius. Next up to Megan, why is D. Reynolds gonna not puke up that chocolate Brussels sprout smoothie?
Look, I'm gonna keep this simple. Sweet D downed 70 beers in a single afternoon and did not puke.
Brief argument, we love it from Megan. And Keith, why is Jack Slater from Last Action Hero gonna keep down that smoothie?
So I think one of the things evident about Jack Slater from anyone who's seen the movies is that he can do anything as long as it's relevant to the plot. So all you have to do is write a movie central plot line to like him having to drink something disgusting in order to save the world, save the universe, save a few little children, pretty much save anything. I think he can and will do anything as long as you write it into the plot.
All right, three solid arguments, but it's ultimately up to Production Master Dave to make the final decision.
Well, first of all, I just want to congratulate everybody on bringing pretty good arguments to the table. Sometimes we get one good one or two good ones and a real stinker, but I think everybody brought some really compelling arguments to the game. However, I do want to now just cut one, I think is a little bit weaker from the herd, and that is Jack Slater. And this is why. We're in the real world. Nobody's going to write in a chocolate Brussels sprout smoothie into the fantasy world in which Jack Slater exists as himself and can do anything anybody writes. We're now back in the real world where he has to contend with real world consequences. And unfortunately, I just think he would be confounded by this concoction and why it exists. And he would immediately throw up. We're not writing for that eventuality. We're testing him in the real world. So now we're coming down to Nick and Sweet D. Wow. Okay. So Nick, potion ready, Portland ready. So he both has experience in drinking weird stuff and experience with things that kind of feel like they might be hipster doofus things that are being forced on people because he lives in Portland. So somebody comes up to him and says, here's this chocolate Brussels sprout shake, right? And he's like, all right, I guess I'll drink it. I have to. I live in Portland. And he will, and he has experience drinking weird stuff, so it's going to go down smooth. Sweet D, we know she can drink volume, but this beer. So even though she could drink a lot and doesn't throw up, I'm worried about the particular combination of these two disgusting things in one drink. That has not been tested. Therefore, my champion winner today is Cornelius with Nick from Grimm.
All right.
All right.
Congratulations, Cornelius. You've won my champion, which means you get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you'll have half a point more than either of your fellow competitors. Here is your half point question. The film Stand By Me features a story within a story that ends in, quote, a complete and total barf-o-rama, unquote. What flavor pie was a major ingredient of said barf-o-rama?
That would be blueberry.
The half point goes to Cornelius. That means he's also going to go first in round one in another world. Back in season 5, we identified 90s movies from the voiceover narration in their trailers from the legendary voice of Don LaFontaine. We're skewing older this time by playing Don LaFontaine trailer clips from the 1980s. Name the 80s movie from the voiceover clip in its trailer. For instance, if I played you this clip...
Ghosts. They're real.
You do? You have?
They're here.
You know that came from the trailer for the movie...
Ghostbusters!
Absolutely, Ghostbusters. If you need some help, I can give you the exact year of the movie and its top billed star. 10 points for the right answer from the trailer alone, 5 points after a hint. I'm going to start off with Cornelius and your first 80s movie trailer voiceover.
It will have only one purpose. To return to the present and prevent the future. This weapon will be called...
I think I'm going to need a hit on that one.
A 1984 movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Should have went with my gut. Terminator.
The Terminator is correct. Next up, over to Megan.
Professor Wayne Szalinski was hard at work on his new invention.
This thing works. It'll put us right up there with the invention of electricity.
That didn't quite work.
Did you get the machine to work?
A few more bugs to get out.
Then something quite unexpected happened.
Where are the kids?
That is Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yes, for the full 10. Next up, over to Keith.
Adam and Barbara are
ghosts.
What's the good of being a ghost if you can't frighten people away?
Their house is being haunted by the living.
Maybe the house could use a little remodeling.
And they can't scare them into leaving.
They're dead. It's a little late to be neurotic.
I love it. Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
Ooh.
He's done. Don't
Absolutely. Beetlejuice, the correct answer for the full 10.
I don't appreciate you just saying Beetlejuice 3 times and not giving me a chance to trick you into it. It's just not the way we do things here.
I just love him so much I wanted him to appear.
Next up, back to Cornelius.
But when his job pulled the plug on him...
I'm fine.
You son of a dude!
They threw a switch.
Go, better late.
Yes, okay.
Good luck.
And he became the lady of the house.
Whew. I used to listen to movie phone as like just something I would do. So it's bugging me that I can't get these. Hint, please.
A 1983 movie starring Michael Keaton.
Mr. Mom?
Sorry, you dropped out there.
Mr. Mom?
One more time.
Is it Mr. Mom?
Oh no, Mr. Mom's gonna appear.
Yes, Mr. Mom for 5 points to Cornelius.
Yay! We got one in.
All right, next up is for Megan.
He's got hair on his chest. He stopped being a boy.
What do you think about to get worked up?
At last, he's become...
Scott? Scott Howard?
I saw this in the movie theater because I had a huge crush on Michael J. Fox. That's Teen Wolf.
Absolutely. Next up to Keith.
He could have saved his best friend's life.
I'll never forget you, Apollo.
But now, the one thing he can't do is walk away.
Has the fight date been set yet?
Oof. That sounds like, that sounded in the brief moment like Sylvester Stallone. I think I'm going to need a hint, though, to further suss it out.
A 1985 movie starring Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, of course. Well, it could be anything, but I'm going to go with Rocky.
Very close. Rocky IV.
Oh, of course.
His best friend, Apollo Creed, having died.
Oh, I don't know the timeline well. It failed me.
Let's next kick it back to Cornelius.
From another time comes a man of great power.
Talk funny, Nash. Where are you from?
Lots of different places. A warrior of incredible strength.
You've the devil in you.
We've been kinsmen 20 years.
After being burned the first time, I'm going to go with my gut again. Is that Highlander?
Yes, for the full 10. Well done, Cornelius.
There can be only one.
Over to Megan.
A look that led to an evening.
We were attracted to each other at the party. That was obvious. You're on your own for the night. That's also obvious.
A mistake he'd regret all his life.
Now, where's your wife?
Daddy! Honey, oh!
I got this one. Fatal Attraction.
Very good. Next up, back over to Keith.
The mob wants him dead. The FBI want him alive.
I'm going to bring him into federal court. Do I make myself understood?
And his bail bondsman wants him in L.A. in 72 hours.
They can't fly.
Travel has a funny way of bringing people together.
Are you going to outrage?
I think I need a hint.
A 1988 movie starring Robert De Niro.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Is this Taxi? Ah, man.
That's going to be Midnight Run with him and Charles Grodin. Well, that'll take us into our first score update from acting scoremaster Dave.
Thank you, thank you. I take this responsibility seriously. We have Keith in third place currently with 10, but don't worry, everybody's still packed together pretty closely. Cornelius in second place with 20 and a half point. And perfect so far, it's Megan with 30.
All right, let's get back into it. This next 80s Don LaFontaine trailer voiceover is for Cornelius.
Every person in this room has the perfect motive.
Stand back!
For murder.
What do you mean?
Murder.
But only one of these suspects is the murderer.
Is that Clue?
Yes, well done.
Like, could it be anything else?
Over to Megan.
Prince in his first motion picture. Before he created the music, he lived every bit of it.
That is, it's actually a pretty terrible movie. Awesome soundtrack. It's Purple Rain.
Absolutely. Next up, over to Keith.
This time, Richard Pryor has come to Metropolis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he's got something to sell. He's the best con man. And the world's greatest computer genius.
Whew. I don't think I've ever seen this one because that just sounded like a random comedy with that trailer. I'm going to need a hint for sure.
A 1983 movie starring Christopher Reeve.
Christopher Reeve? I'm sorry. I have to pass. I'm failed.
Megan?
It's Superman 3, right?
Yes, Superman 3 with Richard Pryor as some off-brand version of Brainiac.
That totally threw me off.
The sequels, I wouldn't know.
One more 80s trailer voiceover for player. This one is for Cornelius.
The most incredible adventure the screen has ever created.
He's coming right at us!
The big news is...
Ooh, that sounds much older than the 80s. Sounds like 60s creature feature. I'll take a hint.
A 1980 movie starring Leslie Nielsen.
Ah. I know it's not that, but all I can think of is Naked Gun, but it's not that.
In the right realm, that is from the trailer for Airplane!
Oh, was it? Oh, I should have went with the more obvious one.
Let's kick it over to Megan.
It was a different time. It was a time of destiny. A time when a child could tip the balance between good and evil.
I definitely heard the strains of Star Wars in the background. And I think I'm going to go with The Return of the Jedi.
You're right that there's some George Lucas involvement with this one from 1988. This is Willow.
Yeah.
And closing out round one with one more clip for Keith.
Two of LA's top rival cops are having a good time staying in rhythm, but they're going to have to work together, even if it kills them.
Like now!
Based off that limited amount, I want to take the hint just to give myself some more.
A 1989 movie starring Kurt Russell.
Ooh, not what I thought it was. I was going to say Lethal Weapon, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't in any of them. Big Trouble Little China. Ah.
It's going to be Kurt Russell with Sylvester Stallone again in Tango and Cash.
Oh, man. Starsky and Hutch was stuck in my head, and I'm like, no, there's another one. I know there's another one.
Well, that'll do it for round one. Next up, another score update and on to round two. Hey, listeners, Taylor here to tell you about what's going on this week's Empty Studio episode. This week, we've got a game called In an Additional World. Did you like that round one game? Well, guess what? We've got no shortage of Don LaFontaine 80s movie trailer clips ready to go. Check us out on usaquizshow.com/membership for more 80s trailer goodness.
After one round of play, it is time for the YARP score break.
YARP?
Currently, in between rounds, we have Megan in first with 40, Cornelius right behind with 30 and the half point, and Keith in third place with 10, but that means he'll get to go first in round two.
Keith, it also means you get a chance to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. Keith, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You have three guesses to guess as many as those answers as you can. 10 points to you for each answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. There are 12 pieces of clothing or accessories named in the song Sharp Dressed Man by ZZ Top. Four of them are qualified by one of three colors. Name those three colors mentioned in Sharp Dressed Man.
Oof. All right. First color, I'll say black. Second color, I'll say blue. White. All right.
I love gold.
Oh, man.
The third answer, a gold watch along with those black shades, black tie, and white gloves. Still, 20 points, which is going to bring you much closer to the pack. Keeping in the zone of who's wearing what, we're going to play round two entitled Who Wore It Best? Costume designers often try to give characters a signature look, but sometimes that look has already been used elsewhere. In this game, I'll describe two characters from TV, movies, or video games that share a signature outfit or article of clothing. You tell me the respective titles of where those similarly dressed characters are from and what the common fashion statement is. Who wore it better? The surprising spouse of a cartoon rabbit? Or the most iconic of the humanoid biomodels infiltrating the remains of the colonial fleet. You would know that those properties were Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Battlestar Galactica, with the common article of clothing being a red dress. 10 points for knowing each of the properties, and 10 points for knowing that common fashion. If you need some help, you can ask for a hint for one or both of the characters, and I'll tell you their first names. But then that answer is only worth 5 points. In some instances, there'll be some long-standing characters whose presence makes them almost a property or franchise in and of themselves, such as Mario. In that instance, we'll accept the character name as an answer. Gonna start off round two with Keith. Who wore it better? The cousin of Bo and Luke, or a never-nude who would really like to join the Blue Man group?
All right, so the first one is Daisy Duke from Dukes of Hazzard, and the second one is Tobias Fumke from Arrested Development, and they're both wearing cut-off shorts. Technically, Daisy Duke's.
Absolutely, the full 30 points to Keith. Next up to Cornelius. Who wore it better? The owner of the most popular club in Morocco in the 40s, or a globe-trotting archaeology professor?
Okay, I know the one is Indiana Jones. Sam is the pianist. Oh my God, it's killing me. I'll say a fedora. I will take the hint.
This other character's name is Rick.
Okay, so it's Casablanca. Oh.
25 points to Cornelius. Well done. Next up to Megan. Who wore it better? A superhero's enemy / love interest, or Mr. Steed's sometimes partner?
I'm going to need a hint. Can I have the name of the enemy / love interest?
Selena.
Okay. So that's Selena Meyer. That's Catwoman. So Mr. Steed's love, I have no idea who Mr. Steeds is at all. Okay, so I'll take a hint on Mr. Steeds.
Emma.
Nope, didn't help at all. So I'm gonna guess, since Catwoman, what does she wear? A cat suit?
A black leather cat suit. The other character wearing that is Emma Peel from the old 60s British spy series, The Avengers.
Okay.
And point of order for our pedantic listeners, Selena Meyer is Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character on Veep. Selena Kyle is Catwoman.
As soon as I said it, I was like, I know that's wrong.
All right, coming back to Keith. Keith, who wore it better? The 90s teenage anime champion of Love and Justice, or a classic cartoon waterfowl with anger management issues?
That sucks for me because I don't know much anime. I'll take a hint for the first one.
A character named Usagi, or Serena in the original US dub.
I'm just going to take a stab and guess Avatar, The Last Airbender on that one. Oh, man. Classic cartoon waterfowl. That's for some reason throwing me for a loop. And I know it's probably going to be obvious afterwards. I'll take a hint on that.
His first name is Donald.
Oh, that's Donald Duck. And the item in common. That's a good question. I think Donald Duck wore suspenders?
A sailor suit, with also being worn by Sailor Moon.
Oh my God. Okay, terrible.
Still 5 points for Donald Duck. Next up, back to Cornelius. Who wore it better? The detective with just one more question, or the British magician from DC Comics?
Whew. All right. British magician from DC Comics. Whew. So I go with a hint. Can you give me a hint on the first property?
A character where one scene showed his first name is Frank, and Trivial Pursuit says his first name is Philip, but the creators say he doesn't canonically have a first name.
Ooh, boy. For property number two as well, I'm going to need a hint, I think.
First name, John.
DC Comics, John, magician. This is where my blind spot comes in. Superheroes. Detectives I should get, but I'm going to have to pass on those two. I don't know.
You can take a stab at the clothing.
I mean, I had two in my head. I'm very glad I asked the hint, but I'm going to have to go with the top hat.
Keith wanted to take a guess at one of the characters.
Was it Dick Tracy? Ah, man.
No. These characters are going to be Columbo.
Oh.
And then John Constantine Constantine from DC Comics, both who wear a tan raincoat. Next up to Megan. Who wore it better? The Pacific Island host who makes dreams come true and his diminutive assistant, or the Italian-American who spends his nights grooving to the Bee Gees at a Brooklyn discotheque?
I know this one. So it's Tony Manero from Saturday Night Fever, and it's Mr. Rourke from Fantasy Island, and they both are famous for wearing white suits.
A perfect 30 for Megan. Well done. Kicking it back to Keith. Who wore it better? The kids in a 2012 Wes Anderson coming-of-age dramedy, or a kid whose attempts to get a merit badge land him in South America?
Okay, so the article of clothing is like, I don't really know what to call it, but like a scout uniform. Okay, cool. The first property was Moonrise Kingdom. The second one? I'll take a hint.
A character named Russell.
Oh, that's from Up.
25 points to Keith. Next up to Cornelius. Who wore it better? Gene Hackman as a cop hunting down drug smugglers, or Bryan Cranston as a drug-dealing alter ego?
So property two would be Breaking Bad. Gene Hackman with drug smugglers. I'm going to need a hint on that one.
A character named Jimmy, but better known by his nickname, Popeye.
I don't think it's this, but I'm going to... No Country for Old Men.
Do you want to take a stab at the article of clothing?
I'll go with a bowler hat.
That's going to be a pork pie hat.
Oh, that's
worn
what
by
is.
Both Walter White as Heisenberg and Jimmy Popeye Doyle in The French Connection. Next up to Megan. Who wore it better? A TV vampire who got his soul back, or the super spy who gathered together a group of superheroes?
I'm going to take a guess on the TV vampire property. Ooh. Mm. Mm. Do I go? Okay. Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Okay. And can I have a hint on the second property, please?
A character named Nick.
No, that doesn't help at all. So, what would a hunky teenage vampire wear? A leather jacket.
Nice.
A black leather duster. Well done. Want to take a guess on the property that Nick is from?
Could you repeat the first part? Nick is in...
He's a super spy who gathered together a group of superheroes.
A super spy. Oh, Nick Fury from the Avengers?
Yes. 25 points to Megan on that one.
Oh, my husband and son are going to be so proud of me for pulling that out through osmosis.
And that'll take us right into our next update on the scores.
Well, our standings have changed. Currently in third place, it is Cornelius with 65 and the half point. Then we have Keith with 90 and Megan 110 points.
All right, two more articles of clothing per player. This next set is for Keith. Who wore it better? Dick Van Dyke as the chief of internal medicine at Community General Hospital, or a scientist who stole plutonium from the Libyans?
Okay, so I'm going to take a stab at the article of clothing as a white lab coat. Scientists who stole plutonium. I have like a direction I want to lean on it, but I'm not sure how current it is. If I take the hint and I know it, I'm going to be so pissed. Yeah, I'll take the hint for that second one.
A character named Emmett.
Okay, that's from Back to the Future. That's Doc, yeah. Community General Hospital is bringing up some bells in my head. But in the interest of points, I'm just going to go straight guess. Is that ER? Ah, no.
Dick Van Dyke is going to be the star of Diagnosis Murder.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Still 15 points to Keith. Next to Cornelius. Who wore it better? a bowling aficionado trying to get his rug back, or a normal guy who winds up in space with Zaphod Beeblebrox in a much-adapted British radio series?
So Property 2 is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Trying to get his robe. Big Lebowski. And that would be a robe. Oh, my God.
A full 30 for nice. Cornelius. Next up to Megan. Who wore it better? A sitcom alien living in Boulder, Colorado, or the most recent incarnation of an alien Time Lord?
Alien Time Lord is Doctor Who. And an alien living in Boulder, Colorado. I'm going to take a hint on that because I have two ideas, but I don't want to blow it.
His people, evolved from birds, gave up constructs like full names bleems ago.
Alf?
Could still take a crack at the common article of clothing.
Oh, okay. The most recent time. I don't think this is the most recent Time Lord. Bow ties.
If you're looking for Mork from Ork, as in Mork and Mindy.
That was my other choice. Yeah.
With Mork and the most recent incarnation of the Doctor both wearing suspenders.
Okay.
Next up, back to Keith. Who wore it better? The janitor at Patty's Pub / self-proclaimed expert in bird law, or a high school character portrayed by Linda Cardellini?
Okay, well, the first one's It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Just get that out of the way. If I didn't get that right, I would have been super upset. can I have the hint for that one?
A character named Lindsay.
Lindsay, crap, that does not help me out. But if I can think about Mac, I don't recall any like really stick out articles of clothing other than like a tight black shirt. So that's going to be my guess. Oh, man.
You can still take a guess at that Lindsay character.
I'm going to have to pass on that one. I have no idea.
Lindsay, played by Linda Cardellini, is from Freaks and Geeks.
Oh,
both she
man.
And Mac wear army jackets.
Oh, okay.
But still, 10 points for knowing Always Sunny. Next up, over to Cornelius. Who wore it better? A vengeful bride played by Uma Thurman, or a martial arts legend in his final completed screen role?
Okay, so the first one's Kill Bill. Whew. The other one is Bruce Lee, but is it Enter the Dragon? And is it a yellow jumpsuit?
Yes, that final Bruce Lee performance is in Game of Death, where he wears the yellow jumpsuit. And closing out round two with Megan, who wore it better? James Dean in his role as a disaffected teen, or a delivery guy who goes to the future and becomes a delivery guy?
For James Dean is Rebel Without a Cause. Delivery guy. Can you give me a hint on that one, please?
A character named Philip.
Is that Philip of the Future? No, okay, so it's like he's wearing like a red jacket like and a white t-shirt.
Absolutely. 420. Closing out a strong answer from Megan. Next up, the scores, and on to our final round. Before we get to our final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dave's pop culture riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win the chance to name a score break here on the show. Take it away, Dave.
Those letters from Laura Jean, Kitty mailed them just to be mean. It seemed a little wild when Dad dated Miss Rothschild, but most of the drama is still with the teen.
Think you know that answer? Find the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com, to show off that pop culture knowledge. While you're there, maybe apply to be a contestant on a future season, or visit our new page, usaquizshow.com/dreamteam, and tell us who from other podcasts you'd like to hear battle it out here on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Don't forget to follow us on social media. We're at USA Quiz Show on both Instagram and Twitter. That's where we reveal the answer to the riddle every week, as well as plenty of other tidbits and fun things from that week's episode. Thanks for the riddle, Dave. How about the scores?
Nah. After two rounds of play, going into round three, it is time for the N from Netflix Sound score break. The N from Netflix Sound. You're deaf now.
What?
Megan is in the lead with 140 points, but she can't get too cocky because right behind it is Cornelius with 115 and the half point, which puts him a half point ahead of Keith with 115. That means Keith will get to go first in round three.
All right, Keith, anything can still happen here in the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You will earn 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are misinformation, cautious clay, rapid nibbles, and honky grandma be trippin'. Now, those topics are a little mysterious from their names, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on, or maybe keep something easy away from a fellow player. Keith, in third place, you get first pick. Which of these four categories would you like? Once again, they are misinformation, cautious clay, rapid nibbles, and honky grandma be trippin'.
I want to go with rabid nibbles. Rapid nibbles. Sorry, I can't even say it right.
Do you have a guess as to what's happening with rapid nibbles?
I'm hoping that it has something to do with like fast food or food in pop culture.
Oh, not even close. Sorry, Keith. We all know that rapid nibbles is another way to say quick bites. Quick bites being, of course, the thing that Quibi was short for. So this is all going to be about programming on the misbegotten failed streaming service, Quibi.
I could not have failed more with that pick.
90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Keith, are you ready?
I will never be ready for this, but let's go.
This Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt star hosted Dishmantled.
Pass.
Quibi followed Disney Plus and HBO Max by launching with content starring this Pitch Perfect actress.
Rebel Wilson?
Anna Kendrick. Quibi shut down before this blockbuster director's After Dark could ever premiere.
Pass.
Judge Chrissy Teigen brought in this musician as an expert witness on Chrissy's Court.
Dave Navarro?
John Legend. Jason Reitman recreated this 1987 fantasy comedy for Quibi during the COVID-19 lockdown.
Pass.
This Girls 5 Eva stars is the title character in The Mapleworth Murders.
Pass.
Most Dangerous Game adapts a story by this author.
I have no idea, but I'm just going to guess Crichton.
Richard Connell. I Promise School follows an Ohio elementary school funded by this NBA star.
LeBron James? Ooh.
After its shutdown, Quibi was acquired by this producer of streaming hardware.
Roku?
This Quibi remake keeps the premise but has no Dr. Richard Kimball.
Pass.
Chance the Rapper replaced this original host of Punk'd for the Quibi reboot.
Ashton Kutcher.
Lawrence Fishburne. And Jasmine Cephas Jones won Emmys for their role on this show. That was #FreeRayshawn. All right, Dave, let's hear the Keith report.
All right, we have a couple passes to go through, Keith, so let's settle down and warm our hands at the campfire. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt star that hosted the one good show on Quibi, Dishmantled, was...
Ellie Kemper?
No, Titus Burgess. You're wrong again. We're going to have to take off some points now. Quibi shut down before Steven Spielberg can launch After Dark on that service. Jason Reitman did a version of The Princess Bride during COVID-19. Paul Appel from Girls 5 Eva was also the star of Mapleworth Murders. Quibi's remake of The Fugitive did not feature Dr. Richard Kimball. Those three correct answers bring your score to 145 points, launching you into the lead by 5 points. Cornelius is next, and he'll need to get 3 points to pull into first.
All right, Cornelius, three options still on the board. They are misinformation, cautious clay, and honky grandma be trippin'.
Well, Keith, thank you for taking the other one. I was going to do that. I'm going to go with honky grandma be trippin'.
You got a guess as to what's going on here?
Properties that involve an airplane?
Not quite, a little more literal than that. This is all just about honky grandmas or eccentric older women in pop culture.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Cornelius, are you ready?
Yeah.
In a long-running film and TV franchise, Mabel Simmons is better known as this.
Pass.
He dresses up like a heavy older lady in three Big Mama's House movies.
Martin Lawrence.
On The Simpsons, Dr. Eleanor Abernathy, MD, JD, is better known as this.
Pass.
An episode of Quantum Leap has Sam jump into the body of this sniper and sex therapist.
Dr. Ruth.
On Game of Thrones, this The Avengers actress plays Olyanna Tyrell.
I forget her name. Pass.
Granny Weatherwax and Nanny Ogg are not to be trifled with in this Terry Pratchett series.
Discworld?
On Once Upon a Time, this character's granny is revealed to have been a werewolf.
Little Red Riding Hood.
In 70s comic books, she almost married Dr. Octopus.
Pass.
Big Edie and Little Edie are featured in this 1975 documentary.
Grey Gardens?
Slappy Squirrel hits people with her purse on this 90s animated show.
Ren and Stimpy?
Animaniacs. Granny Clampett repeatedly shoots interlopers with buckshot on this series.
Pass.
On Burn Notice, this Cagney and Lacey actress plays Jeffrey Donovan's mom.
Pass, I don't know.
That would have been Sharon Gless right there at the buzzer. All right, Dave, let's hear the Cornelius report.
Well, for somebody who thought this was going to be about aeroplanes, I think he did pretty good. Let's go through the passes first. Medea is the long-running film and TV franchise. Mabel Simmons is best known as. On The Simpsons, we're talking Crazy Cat Lady is Dr. Eleanor. Diana Rigg is the Avengers actress, the one with the cat suit, who was on Game of Thrones. In the 70s comic book, Aunt May almost married Doc Ock. Mm-hmm. And Granny Clampett shot people on The Beverly Hillbilly. Cornelius got 5 correct, bringing his score up to 165 and a half point. He is now in the lead. If Megan wants to take everything home, she will get 3 correct.
All right, Megan, pressure is on. Your 2 remaining categories are misinformation and cautious clay.
I'm going to go with misinformation, hoping that it's maybe about famous single women in pop culture.
No, you're not too far off. This is just going to be all about pop culture characters referred to as miss or titles with the word miss in them. So famous misses in pop culture.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Megan, are you ready?
Okay.
1930s, The Murder at the Vicarage was the first novel featuring this sleuth.
Miss Marple.
Little Miss Can't Be Wrong was a hit song from this band's album, Pocket Full of Kryptonite.
Spin Doctors.
She played a principal in Grease and an English teacher in Our Miss Brooks.
Pass.
Alan Arkin won an Oscar for this 2006 movie.
Little Miss Sunshine.
The sequel to this 2000 movie was subtitled Armed and Fabulous.
Miss Congeniality.
Eva Green has the title role in the 2016 Tim Burton movie.
Pass.
She had a 1972 album called The Divine Miss M.
Bette Midler.
Miss Saigon is based on this 1904 Puccini opera.
Pass.
Saved by the Bell was a retooled version of this Haley Mills sitcom.
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Good morning, Miss Bliss. In Miss Sloan, this Zero Dark Thirty star plays a powerful lobbyist.
Jessica Chastain.
This Fargo star has the lead in Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day.
Frances McDormand.
Renee Zellweger draws a lot of bunnies and other cute animals in this 2006 movie.
Pass.
According to a 1989 hit, if you're nasty, you have to call Janet this.
Miss Jackson.
Vanessa Redgrave, Maggie Smith, and Cynthia Nixon have all played this teacher in her prime.
I do not know.
That's going to be Miss Jean Brody with an Oscar-winning performance for Maggie Smith. All right, Dave, let's hear the Megan report.
All right, let's go through Megan's passes first. We have Eve Arden playing a principal in Grease and an English teacher in our Miss Brooks. Eva Green has the title role in Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Miss Saigon is based on Madame Butterfly. And Renee Zellweger draws a lot of bunnies in Miss Potter. That was an excellent lightning round for Megan. She got 8 correct. So our final scores are Keith with 145, Cornelius with 165 and the half point. And our winner, an undefeated contestant, putting the pressure on, it's Megan.
Woo! Hey, Megan.
Congratulations, Megan, keeping that streak alive. But that does mean it is now the end of the road on our show for Keith and Cornelius. Keith, Cornelius, fantastic run. Loved the back and forth we had during round 2. Just an absolute pleasure to play with you both. Thank you again so much for coming. But before you go, Cornelius, is there anything that you would like to plug or direct our listeners towards?
I'm the person with a 1,000 podcast idea and no podcast. So I am a public school teacher. So support your public schools and libraries.
Hell yeah.
And thank you to my girlfriend, Jess, for setting this up because I was terrible at it.
Thank you, Cornelius. And Keith, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Sure. Yeah. As the title said in the beginning, I am an extreme metal drummer. My band is called Flesh Pit. So you can check us out on Instagram. Or you can search us on Google, but on Instagram, you'll get there right away, at Flesh Pit Death Metal.
Have you tested the search results for Flesh Pit? Like, are you asking, like, what are we getting ourselves into here?
I actually have. And so the first couple ones will probably be, there's a national monument called the Mystery Flesh Pit.
Okay.
Sounds pretty cool. I'd like to go there sometimes. But if you search Flesh Pit Band, then okay, you will definitely get us.
I think that is a very important qualifier for our dear listeners searching in front of their children.
Yeah. And other than that, my personal Instagram is at blastbeats4death, the number 4.
Thank you, Keith. But the big winner today and for the third time is Megan. Megan, you're going to be coming back for the Mark 7 Division Finals with even more elevated competition. Before that, what are you going to be watching, listening to, binging to make sure that we get your best possible game?
I really have to catch up on like Marvel and DC and sci-fi. It's all the stuff that my husband and son love that I really, anything that I know just from overhearing from them. So I got to really bone up on that stuff.
So your plan is to spend time with your family.
That's not fun. Yes.
But in the interest of trivia osmosis, not for love.
Only.
Yes, yes. God, no. God, no. And Megan, anything you'd like to plug?
So you can go to my website, meganmccafferty.com, and that lists all of my books. I write for books for teens and tweens, and I have a new middle grade novel coming out in March. So you can check that out. It's coming out from published by Scholastic. And yeah, that's where you can find out about me and my books.
Wonderful. Thank you, Megan. And listeners, you can also now follow Megan as the skull and crossbones emoji over on our season 6 bracket. Well, that wraps it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time as we make our way back to the Nelvana division for the second elimination match over there. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Today's categories are misinformation, cautious clay, rapid nipples.
Sorry.
I read that as nipples and not nibbles.